Hello and welcome. This is part one of a two-part study on the fruit of the Spirit. In this first part, we establish the fundamental principles and importance of fruit in relation to the kingdom of God. In part two, we focus on details of the nine fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is a subject of real importance to the development of the Christian. For Jesus taught in John 15 and verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." It is interesting and vital to note that when Jesus spoke of bearing fruit, he associated it with discipleship, that is, being disciplined and taught by God. But before we examine further details of the scriptures themselves on this subject, it may prove useful to define exactly what we mean by fruit. In essence, a fruit is a product or attribute that identifies a species. It is the result that identifies the origin, that is, where the result originates from. And as far as the Bible is concerned, a fruit is defined as being of one of only two possible kinds, having only one of two possible origins. It either originates from God, the Spirit, or it originates from our carnal nature, the flesh, and it is absolutely vital that we rightly distinguish between the two. In terms of botany, that is the study of plants, fruit is important because the fruit is that part of the plant that contains the seed or seeds of new life. It contains the promise of future continuance and perpetuation of the species. Where there is no fruit, there is no future, only death. Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter 5 lists nine types of fruit of the Spirit. That is, nine kinds of attributes that are identified as originating from the Spirit of God. These attributes or characteristics come from and identify the working of the Holy Spirit in the bearer of the fruit, that is, the person in whom the attribute or attributes are evident. Jesus said, "For the tree is known by his fruit," Matthew 12, verse 33. The Bible compares the planting and growth of the principles of God's kingdom in the individual with that of a physical plant. As a plant grows and matures, it bears fruit, or it only lasts for one generation. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are planted in the church, which is the body of Christ, and we must grow spiritually and bear the fruit of God. The analogy of God's people being fruitful plants appears several times in the Bible. For example, in Psalm 1 we read, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." We see a comparison between the godly and ungodly. The former bring forth the right fruit in season, and prosper in the ways of the Lord. On the other hand, the ungodly wither away and perish. We read the words of Jesus Christ in John 15, verses 1 to 8. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Jesus clearly taught of the absolute necessity to become a fruit bearer in the kingdom of God, and that this could only take place in those who firstly become grafted into Christ and secondly remain in him. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is the means whereby we become in Christ. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Then, having become a member of the body of Christ through that one Spirit, one is called upon to bear the fruit of that one Spirit. Those who are fruitful and productive develop and grow, and those who are not fruitful, that is, non-productive, wither, die, and are pruned away to encourage new growth. The Lord provides an environment for spiritual satisfaction, productivity, development, potential for growth and fruitfulness within his church. The Christian should have a keen interest in finding how to take maximum advantage of this environment and potential to secure our own spiritual growth, as well as gathering others in and encouraging them to become established in the church. In Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9, Jesus taught about the importance of hearing and responding to the planting of the seed of God's word in us, in the parable of the sower and the seed. Of the four kinds of hearer that Jesus described, only one demonstrates the right approach, receiving the word into the depths of the heart and mind and establishing belief and trust through faith, acting on the word of God. This kind of approach results in fruit that glorifies God, that is, the fruit of the Spirit. We are told that God is a Spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. John 4, verses 23 to 24. It follows logically, therefore, that bearing the fruit of the Spirit is bearing the character associated with the image of God, that is, the spiritual characteristics, attributes that clearly identify us with the Spirit of God. There are two major ways of being a fruitful Christian. Firstly, by developing the attributes listed in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, which are planted in us by the Holy Spirit. And we will focus on these in detail in part 2. But the value of these must be recognized, understood, and consciously cultivated and developed in the believer. It is these spiritual characteristics that will make our living testimony obvious to our associates and others around us as something to be desired, sought after, and obtained. This leads to the second aspect of bearing fruit, which is to testify both in word and deed, and introduce others to the salvation message, to fulfill our calling as witnesses of the truth, as we know in Acts 1, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The fruits of the Spirit are fundamental aspects of the relationship between members of the church. This caring, kind, respectful, and steadfast relationship between us makes the church the vital, beautiful place that is the Lord's intention, and a peaceful, united place to be, as we support and encourage one another, always overcoming our old nature and prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, verse 12 to 17 states the following: Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.